this morning. Let's get ready to start worshiping our God. I searched the world.
to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior. Drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stones. Messiah stood and all alone. Oh, break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Thank you.
the praise, all the glory be yours, Jesus, the King of Kings. And all God's people said, Amen. Neighbor, and we'll get to the announcements.
Hi, everyone. My name is Amy, and I serve on the kids' ministry team. We're so excited to have you here with us. We're starting our new semester of life groups April 11th. Registration for groups is open now. Make sure to visit us online at htchurch.com and click on Life Groups to register. Or visit Pastor Anita at the Connect Desk after the service. Good Friday and Easter Sunday are right around the corner. We will be doing our One Good Friday service here at Harvest Time, April 2nd at 7 p.m. We have a special kids program happening on Good Friday with Pastor Barry Seymour for kindergarten through fifth grade students. Our Easter Sunday services are April 4th and will be standard service times at 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30. It's going to be an incredible Good Friday and Easter weekend at Harvest Time Church. To stay connected in the life of our church, scan the QR code at the bottom of your program. If you're watching online, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Church, we love you and hope you have the best day ever.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad that you came to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us this morning? It's our friend Anika Tilley's birthday weekend, so If you see Anika after the service, be sure to wish her a very, very happy birthday and her best year yet in the Lord. I want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online this morning. We're so glad that you've joined us today and thankful for technology that allows us to worship together and for the Spirit of God that keeps us connected. We want to thank everyone for your generous financial support of Harvest Time Church, and we want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving today. King David wrote in Psalm 37, "It is better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of the ungodly. The power of the ungodly will be broken, but listen, the Lord upholds the righteous. They spend their days under the Lord's care." Isn't that a great promise? I think it's a great promise. "They spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance endures forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. The ungodly borrow and don't repay, but the righteous give generously." That's a good word from the Lord right there. Because of social distancing, we're not going to pass an offering plate through the sanctuary today. There are offering boxes at all of the entrances and exits, and if you did bring an offering with you, you can drop it in that offering box as you leave the sanctuary today. For those worshiping with us online and for everyone, you can give securely to Harvest Time Church anytime online. Go to our website, htchurch.com, and you can click on the giving link on the top of the page, and it will guide you in giving securely online. Some people like to give by text, and information for that is on the screen behind me. We're going to read from John chapter 3 in just one moment. But I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who participated in the offering last week for Teen Challenge. We were able to buy 4 new sets of washers and dryers for the Teen Challenge Center. And we were not only able to buy them the new washers and dryers that they needed, we were able to buy them a treadmill and 2 ellipticals as well to replace the exercise. So thank you so much for all of your giving. And all of the men at the Teen Challenge Center are very, very grateful. Just before we read from John chapter 3, we've had a number of people that have been through Discovery Track. Discovery Track is our vehicle for introducing Harvest Time Church to you, helping you find your place in the body, and it's our membership class. It's offered on Wednesday evenings. We're doing Discovery Track right now. My wife Denise and I host that, and we've had some members come through, and we're delighted to officially welcome them as new members of Harvest Time Church. They're spread out across the three worship services today, but I'm going to read the names of our newest members, and if you're in this service and I call your name, I'd ask that you would just stand and remain standing so that we can just give you a very warm welcome. So our newest members at Harvest Time Church are Frank Cowan, Ananisi Edward, Danielle Edwards, Steve Edwards, Savicia Harris, Amy Heavey, who we put to work, there's Savicia, Manny Homem, yeah, well, bless you, Savicia. Manny Homem and Julie Cast were in our first service. Jeanette Lubin, Marissa Mejia, Walter Mejia, and Denise Vieira. There's Walter in the back. God bless you. Let's just give a very warm welcome to our new members of Harvest Time Church. Thank you so much, and we are so delighted to welcome you officially into our family. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to John chapter 3. And we're going to read from perhaps what is the most famous passage of Scripture in the entire Bible. John chapter 3, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about born again. Born again. John 3, going to start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. And he said, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miracles you're doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' 'How can someone be born when they are old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time in their mother's womb to be born.' Jesus said, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from nor where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked. 'You are the teacher of Israel,' said Jesus, 'and you don't understand these things? Truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we've seen, but still you people don't accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except for the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Let's finish with perhaps the most famous verse of all in the entire Bible. I think that you can say it with me this morning, John 3:16. Let's say it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's talk for a few minutes about what it means to be born again. This year, we're spending our Sunday mornings together studying the matchless life of Jesus. And you know, there's really nothing that we could be doing right now with everything going on in our world, everything going on in our country. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the ultimate peacemaker. He is the peace giver. He is the source of heavenly peace that transcends our circumstances here on earth. That's my prayer for all of us as we fix our eyes on Jesus this year, that he will give to us incomprehensible peace, peace that passes understanding. Prior to launching his public ministry in Galilee, Jesus spent some time with John the Baptist in the vicinity of Jerusalem. During Passover, Jesus cleaned out the temple, and then he did some miracles. That caught the attention of the Pharisees on the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. The Pharisees were religious purists, and they opposed the highly politicized high priest. They opposed the sale of sacrificial animals in the outer court of the temple. We talked about it last week. So the Pharisees sent their foremost representative, Nicodemus, to interview Jesus. Nicodemus anticipated having a dialogue with Jesus about religion, but instead, Jesus immediately started talking about personal transformation. He said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." Looking at Jesus' words, I want to share with you this morning three things that born again means. Three things that born again means. On your way in, you received a program. In your program, there's an outline of today's sermon. If you like, you can listen, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, follow along. If you'd like to have an outline at home, you can click. There's a PDF link in the chat section of the live stream. Just click on that. You can have an outline of today's sermon. Three things that born again means. First of all, born again means to be born from above. Born again means to be born from above. Those of you that are studying the Gospel of John with Pastor Nick on Wednesday evenings have already learned that St. John was very fond of using words that had a double entendre, a double meaning. And born again is one of those words. Born again can mean to be born anew, or it can mean to be born from above. And born again is both of those things. To be born again means to experience a spiritual birth. It means to be fathered by God. John wrote in chapter 1 of his gospel, Jesus came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't acknowledge him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, not children born by natural descent, but children born of God. Just like my dad was the source of my physical life, God becomes the source of my spiritual life. By his supernatural power, I am born into a new relationship with him. I become his child. He becomes my father. It means I now have an organic connection to God. It means that I have an unbreakable bond of kinship with him. Jesus said, "You must be born again." There is only one way to have a relationship with God, and that's to personally experience this spiritual birth. Nicodemus was born Jewish. He believed that by being born Jewish, he was automatically born into a relationship with God. But Jesus explained to him, "Nicodemus, that's not the way this thing works." Precious friends, none of us can come into a relationship with God by physical birth. You can be physically born into a religion, but you can't be physically born into a personal relationship with God. Being born into an Italian Catholic family does not automatically make you a child of God, but it probably does make you very good at expressing yourself. Being born into a Baptist family doesn't automatically make you a child of God, nor a Methodist family, nor a Presbyterian family, nor a Lutheran family, nor an Anglican family. Being born into Harvest Time Church doesn't automatically make you a child of God. Attending Harvest Time Church doesn't automatically make you a child of God, but hopefully it does increase your chances. You may have been born into a Christian family, But the only way to become an authentic Christian yourself is to personally connect with God and experience this spiritual birth. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Yet to all those who did receive him, he gave the power to become children of God, not born by natural descent, but born of God. That moment came for me when I was 8 years old. I still remember it vividly. One night, all alone on my bed, I prayed a simple prayer of believing in Jesus. Wasn't theologically precise. It wasn't eloquent. I simply said, God, I want everything you have for me. Something happened to me that night. I made a direct connection with God. His beautiful presence came to me, and it has never left me since. If you've never had an experience like that, I want you to know you can make a direct connection with God today. Before we finish this service, I'm going to invite you to join me in a prayer of believing on Jesus, and you too can experience the miracle of spiritual birth. Three things that it means to be born again. Number one, it means to be born from above. Second, born again means to receive eternal life. It means to receive eternal life. The Gospels speak about three different types of life. Bios is physical life, biology. Bios began for you at the moment of conception in your mother's womb, and you became a living being. You know, scientists have seen it. They've discovered that at the moment of conception, when a sperm and an egg meet and conception occurs, there is a flash of light that goes off. Can I tell you that babies in the womb are not a clump of cells? They are not a growth in a woman's body. They are a person known by God. Bios is your beating heart. Bios is your physical body. Bios is your blonde hair and green eyes, or your black hair and brown eyes, or your gray hair. It's your 10 fingers and your 10 toes. A second kind of life is psyche. Psyche is your human consciousness, psychology. Psyche started in your mother's womb, and it continues to develop your entire life. It's your ability to think and to reason. It's your ability to perceive the world, to learn, to synthesize. It's your ability to feel emotions, to empathize with others. It's your ability to express yourself. It's your ability to choose. Physically, your body bears similarities to other things that God has created. That's called intelligent design, but you are absolutely distinct in creation. You are distinct first physically, but especially because of psyche. You are not a monkey's uncle. You were created in the image of God with the ability to create and think and feel and express. You know, this gift is bestowed upon us directly by Jesus himself. St. John said that Jesus is the true light that gives the light of human consciousness and conscience to every person. I think, therefore he is. Descartes was a little confused about that. Now, I want you to follow me for just a moment, if you will. From your parents, you received bios and psyche. Your parents gave birth to a person. Jesus said to Nicodemus, flesh gives birth to flesh. Flesh gives birth to bios and psyche. But there is a third kind of life in the Gospels, and that is zoe. Zoe is spiritual life. Zoe is the ability to know God. It's the ability to perceive that he exists. It's the ability to experience God's presence. It's the ability to comprehend him. It's the ability to communicate with him. Zoe is the ability to perceive unseen spiritual realities and understand spiritual truths. Just like you perceive this natural world with your mind and your senses, with bios and psyche, you perceive the spiritual world with Zoe. But unlike bios and psyche, you did not get Zoe from your parents. In fact, you cannot. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. God created Adam in his own image. He formed Adam from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Bios and psyche and Zoe. Adam was physically alive. He was cognitively alive, emotionally alive, volitionally alive, and Adam was spiritually alive. God told Adam, "You can eat from the fruit of any tree in the garden except this one." And God warned Adam, "In the day that you eat it, you shall surely die." Along came the serpent, and he said, "Don't worry, Adam, enjoy, you shall not surely die." Adam disobeyed God, and he ate the fruit, and Adam remained alive. His heart was still beating. His mind was still thinking. He was still having emotions. He was still feeling. In fact, he had new emotions he never had before. He had emotions like guilt and shame and antipathy toward his wife. Adam could still create. He could still procreate. Adam was still alive physically and mentally, but spiritually he died, and the whole human race with him. His vital connection with God and the spiritual realm was severed. And Adam began to die a slow death in his soul. Dysfunction and brokenness entered into the experience of the first family. Adam started to die a slow death in his body, aging and sickness, and eventually the grave. St. Paul wrote, "In Adam all died, and in this way death came to every person." So you were born physically and mentally alive, but spiritually you were born dead. You were born with the ability to perceive and experience this physical world, but not the spiritual world, and God in particular. There's only one place that we can find this third kind of life, this Zoe, and that's from God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Flesh can only give birth to flesh, but the Spirit must give life to the Spirit." To be born again means to receive Zoe. It means to finally be alive again in all the ways that God created us to be alive. Alive in your body, alive in your mind, in your soul, and alive in your spirit. St. Paul wrote, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now Jesus Christ has made you alive again." Here's the really cool thing about Zoe. This spiritual life is eternal life. The moment that you receive Jesus, you receive this eternal life. Zoe just keeps going and going, even when your physical life runs out. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Unless Jesus comes again, every one of us one day will leave this earth through the doorway called death. But to those who have been born again, to those who have received Zoe, eternal life, they'll go right on living without skipping a beat. You know, we don't have to wonder what will happen. We don't have to worry what it'll be like when our physical body dies. Jesus already told us what we can expect. Our spirit and our soul will go right on living without even skipping a beat. In the blink of an eye, we'll leave this world and we'll enter the next. I was working on my laptop few nights back, and I noticed that the battery was beginning to run low. First, the battery icon lit up red, and then it started flashing, and because I was very cozy working in front of the fireplace, I didn't get up right away until finally a message popped up on the screen: plug in now, dummy, or you're gonna lose all your work. I plugged in the computer and it immediately started drawing that AC, and it went right on running without so much as a flicker. The programs I was running didn't even flicker. I was connected to the internet. The internet connection didn't skip a beat. Can I tell you that is exactly what happens at death to everyone who believes in Jesus? Eventually, I hate to tell you, your battery is gonna poop out. Some of us get a little low already, but your hard drive is gonna keep right on running. There will be an instantaneous switchover to an endless supply of life, and your conscious mind won't skip a beat. Listen, if you are a believer in Jesus, you are already in possession of this eternal life. Death is merely a doorway from one world to the next. Three things that born again means. It means, number one, to be born from above. Secondly, born again means to receive eternal life. Finally, this is my favorite part. Born again means to get a fresh start in life. Born again means to get a fresh start in life. Born again means to be born from above. It also means to be born anew. Jesus said, everyone who is born again is born of water and of the Spirit. Water speaks of God's cleansing work in our innermost being, and the Spirit speaks of his work of renewing and regenerating. To be born again means to experience a radical inner transformation. It is to be recreated. It is to undergo an extreme makeover, character addition. It means you become altered in your essential being. Can I tell you, it's a change that I have seen in hundreds and hundreds of lives. And as many times as I have seen it, it never gets old. I've seen haters become lovers. I've seen abrasive people become gentle in spirit. I've seen abusive people become instruments of God's healing. I've seen selfish people become selfless. I've seen addicted people become free indeed. I've seen unfaithful spouses become devoted. I've seen anxious people become secure in Christ. Listen, somebody, Jesus can take your anxiety away. He can remove it all from you. He can take that burden that you've been carrying, the sorrow that you've been just drowning in. Jesus can take it away from you. I tell you, he can. I've seen stingy people become generous. Now, that's a real miracle right there, let me tell you. Can I tell you, Jesus is the only one who can give you the opportunity to start fresh in life. So many people today, they're in search of a fresh start. Feel like somebody's even listening, maybe online or in the sanctuary, and you've said recently, I just need a fresh start. I just need a fresh start. People search out new romantic relationships. They search out new employment. They search out a new city or a new part of the country to live in. You know, the average tenure at a job is less than 3 years. The average stay at an address in the United States is less than 3 years, and the average marriage is 7 years. People are looking for a fresh start. The problem with all those scenarios is you take you with you. And the problem is not your partner, it's not your employer, it's not your address. The problem is you. You need a fresh start in here before you can make a fresh start out there. But how can this be? Nicodemus had a hard time believing that it was really possible to be born again. He spent his entire lifetime steeped in religion. He was as devout and as sincere and as zealous as anyone could ever be, but his lifetime of religious experience left him jaded. Listen, don't misunderstand. He was no simpleton. Don't underestimate his intelligence or his insight into the words of Jesus and the interplay that he was having. What Nicodemus was saying to Jesus is, Jesus, it is impossible to change. His response to Jesus was tongue-in-cheek. Born again? Oh, that it were possible. Oh, for a man to rise up in me so that the man I am might cease to be. Born again, Jesus? You might as well tell me, an old man, to go back into my mother's womb and to start all over again. It's impossible. Three times Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can this be? And Jesus tells him how. First of all, transformation is possible because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Transformation is possible because of the cross. Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross so that everyone who believes in him will have this Zoe, will have this spiritual life, will have this eternal life. If you don't know the incident that Jesus is referring to, Nicodemus certainly did, scholar that he was. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, while the children of Israel were crossing the wilderness, they sinned against the Lord. A curse of venomous serpents came upon them, and people started dying from the snake bites. They repented and they begged Moses, Moses, we've blown it, please pray for us. God told Moses to fashion a bronze serpent and to lift it up on a pole. And everyone who looked up at that serpent and repented for the ugliness of his or her sin, everyone who looked up to that serpent in obedient faith in God was healed from the deadly venom. Can I tell you, that's exactly a picture of what Jesus has done on the cross. When Jesus was lifted up on the cross, all of sin's venom was placed upon him. The horrific, bloody spectacle of the cross is a reminder to every one of us of the ugliness of our own sin. But the power of the serpent was broken when Moses lifted it up. And when Jesus was lifted up on the cross with the sins of the world upon him, the power of the old serpent, the devil, was broken. Sin's venom was neutralized by the cross. That's why the personal transformation that had eluded Nicodemus his entire religious life is now possible. How can it be? How is it possible to be born again? Worship team, you can help me finish. Through the cross of Christ. And secondly, Jesus says it is possible through the indescribable work of the Holy Spirit. Can't really explain how the Holy Spirit washes someone and makes him or her new inside. But I have seen it happen again and again and again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind blows and you can't see it. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going, but you can hear it. You can feel the effects of it. And so it is with everyone born again by the Spirit of God. Can't really explain how the Holy Spirit washes guilt off of a man's conscience, but I know that he does. Can't really explain how he removes shame from someone's heart, how he erases regret from someone's mind, but I know that he does. Can't really explain how he transforms someone's inner character, but I know that he does. Can't really explain how he sets people free, but I know that he does. How do I know? Because I've seen it. I've experienced it. And I've seen others experience it too. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "We testify to you about what we have seen and what we have experienced." What does it mean to be born again? It means to be born from above. It means to receive eternal life. And it means to make a fresh start in this life. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise today? Oh, come on. Let's give him a good praise. Thank you, Lord. Listen, I want you to lift up your faces, lift up your hands to the Lord, lift up your voice. Let's sing, "Our Savior is so wonderful." Let's celebrate. Jesus. There's one final thing that I need to share with you, and that's this. You can be born again. You can be born from above. You can receive eternal life. Somebody listen to me. You can make a fresh start in life. The way that we respond to the gospel is through praying a prayer of believing on Jesus. Just before we finish this service, I'd like to pray a prayer like that with you. I'm wondering if you'd bow your heads with me. Perhaps you've never had that moment where you've made that connection with God. Perhaps you've never had that moment where you've experienced His presence with you. You've never experienced that transformation. The way to enter into that experience is through a prayer of believing on Jesus. Maybe you're here and you prayed a prayer like that a long time ago, but a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then. And today is the day to pray it again for the first time in a long time. I'd like to pray a prayer of believing with you. And if you'd like to pray it with me for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'm going to ask you right where you're standing. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else, but just say a prayer with me. Right where you're standing, would you just lift your hand real high where I can see it? You'd like to join me in a prayer of believing on Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time. Can you lift your hand high where I can see it? There's one, there's two, there's another one, there's another, there's another, there's another. Someone else, would you lift your hand high? There's another one. Someone else, you want to join us today in a prayer of believing on Jesus? Do you lift your hand real high where I can see it while heads are bowed? There's another. Come on, someone else. You'd like to join us in a prayer of believing on Jesus? Would you lift your hand high where I can see it? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, it's a good day. There's another. The Lord's here with us. Thank you, Jesus. His Spirit is here with us. There's another one. Someone else, you'd like to join us in a prayer of believing on Jesus? Would you lift your hand high? I want to invite everybody, if you're willing, would you lift your hands up with me? If you're willing, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of believing, and I'd like to invite you to say it with me with a nice, clear voice, and let's just respond to Jesus. Let's just respond to the gospel. I'll lead you, follow. Let's pray. Father, oh, come on, you can do better. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only son, Jesus. Thank you for coming. You lived a perfect life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I want to be born again. I want to be born from above. I want to receive eternal life. I want to make a fresh start. Wash me. Make me a new person. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, go ahead and give the Lord a good praise. Listen, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we have a prayer room. It's across the foyer in that direction. Pastor Ruth, some of our other pastors, and some of our friends are going to be there. Would you stop in the prayer room? And we just want to very quickly celebrate with you. We want to pray a prayer of blessing over you before you go on with your Sunday and start a new week in the Lord. How many of you know it's going to be a good week this week? Somebody listen to me. Listen. The Bible says, blessed is the man and the woman whose delight is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of living water. His leaf will never fade or wither. And listen, everything he touches will prosper. Come on. I want you to hold your branches up to the Lord. Would you hold your branches up to the Lord? Come on, you're rooted in a stream of living water, Jesus. God is with you. You are not going to fizzle out. You are not going to fade out. You are not going to be phased out, all right? You are not going to be downsized. To everything you touch is going to prosper. Come on, I want you to make this confession of faith with me. I want you to say, everything I touch. Oh, you're not convincing anybody. Everything I touch shall prosper. Come on, everything I touch shall prosper. One more time, everything I touch shall prosper in Jesus' name. Come on, give him one more good praise. Lift up your voice. God bless you, everyone. Have a great Sunday.